Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. This morning we had a message on this is no fear this year. And that we need to understand the person making the promises of getting us through fear is God. And He doesn't break His promises. We see the protection that He brings, and we see the prospect of living in that protection. Tonight, I want us to look at some things that we can do concretely in this year in order to build a better relationship with God, that we build better families, we can build a better church. And so, the title of my message tonight is A Year to Build. We're going to start off with a fundamental truth. And we need to be focused on this every day, but more as we see the world in its state, we know that Christ is coming back. And in Psalm chapter 127, verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." See, too many of us have put God out. The world has put God out of its view. And a lot of the darkness and a lot of the fear that we have right now is because people aren't doing what they should be doing. And folks, what we need in our families and what we need in our lives and what we need in our church and what we need in our country is God. We need a total revival and turning to Him. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, we used this last week. It says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." See, we have a unique opportunity. We can live for our Savior today. We can show the world. We can be light. We're supposed to be that. And that is a fundamental truth. God's got to be behind all that we do. If you do not have a relationship with God, tonight is the night you need it. You are running out of time. Each day brings us closer to eternity. Now, it is Christ that builds this house of faith. In way of introduction, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." I think too many of us take Christ Jesus too nonchalantly. We need to consider who He is. He's the God of the universe. He's the Creator. He is the only way that you'll get to heaven. We need to consider Him. Who was what? Who was faithful in Him that appointed Him? Jesus Christ did everything that God the Father did to be a model for us. We need to do everything that God's Word says to do to be a model for others. "As also Moses was faithful in all his house, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things," and all people say, "is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." Consider your testimony. Consider your testimony for last year. And consider your testimony for this year. How many lives are you going to impact? You will impact lives. You will impact them positively or you will impact them negatively. We need to consider our testimony. "But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we?" We need to understand that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We need to understand we are bought with a price. We need to understand the greatness of that cost and put God in view. If we what? Hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. You can't do that when you're living in fear. You can't do that when you're living being defeated. You can't do that when you're looking at the world's circumstances and say, "Oh, woe is me. Oh, God, help me." Help us at this time. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice. I challenge you today to hear God's voice in His Word tonight. We need to hear His voice. So now as we turn to the text, we are looking at the account of Paul's first missionary journey. And he starts from Antioch, he goes down to Cyprus, and he comes up to Perga, and then he goes to Antioch, it's in Asia Minor. And then he goes to a place called Iconium. And that's where chapter 14 starts. And he starts preaching there, and then he gets opposition. Folks, this will be a year of opposition. I suspect that we'll have more opposition trying to be faithful than we've ever had before. But understand, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. My peace I give unto you. So he's gone to Iconium. They were driven out of Iconium. They go down to a place called Lystra. In Lystra there was an impotent man that was healed. And the people saw the healing and they basically gave credit to their mythological gods. And they called them Jupiter and Mercury. And they started making offerings to them. And said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And once again, the adversaries came. And then they wind up going to Derbe. So let's look at Acts verses 14, 19 through 23, and then we'll kind of break this down into some parts. It says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believe. How shall we build in 2021? How shall you be a better Christian in this coming year? Well, there's three things that we see in here. The first thing we need to understand is that it's all about Jesus. That is the fundamental truth. It is Christ that builds the house. And we can have a whole bunch of people in here, but if they're not saved and we're not preaching the gospel, we're not doing our job.
That's right.
See, we need to build through evangelism. In verses 19 through 21, see, here's the issue. Here's the scene that we see here. Paul is stoned and believed dead. You know, the world thinks that the church is dead. Some of us act like we are dead. And you know what happens is that the disciples were gathered around the body of Paul. And were just looking at him. Oh, such a horrible thing that happened. Such. And no one was doing it. They were just sitting there looking at Paul. And folks, is our church dead? When they look at it, do they see life? We all seem to be looking around doing nothing. See, in order to make a difference, we need to do something. And we need to share the gospel. If you're not sharing the gospel, you're out of God's will.
Right.
It's His commandment. You're not being obedient to His command. And if you're not sharing the gospel, how can you expect God to bless you in 2021? If you're not doing the whole reason He saved you for. See, the disciples were gathered around the body. And then all of a sudden, he rises up and surprises them. Folks, we should not be surprised about how God works. See, God, our God is a quickening spirit. He can take a dead thing and put life in them. He can put life in us. He can send revival. See, what we need to do is we can't be like the church at Sardis. The church at Sardis in Revelation was dead. Just had a few people that were doing that, but most of it was dead. So what we need to do for the world is we need to let the world know that we are alive. It's time to do more for God than just come to church.
Right.
You need to share the gospel. It's what you were created for.
Amen.
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the best work we could do is the God's command. See? You know, when we go through some sort of trouble, how do we respond to that? You know, if we get a little bit of persecution, how do we respond to that? Say, I ain't going to do that anymore. Have you ever said that? We go on something and we found it turning right. Say, I'll never do that again. Here's Paul, and he's been stoned for preaching the gospel. And he gets up and he goes to the next town. See, Paul heads to Derbe to reach souls here. And we see that in this passage. That was the purpose of his life, and it should be the purpose of our life. Is to reproduce. In Malachi chapter 3, we're supposed to bring godly seed into the world. That's in a physical sense, but we're supposed to lead others to Christ. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, this was Paul's motivation. He says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." And then he says this. He says, "For necessity is laid upon me." How motivated are you to serve God? How motivated are you? Do you feel it as a compulsion? Do you feel it as a burning desire? We sing the song, "Set My Soul Afire."
Yeah.
But after we sing it, we act dead because we don't share God's word. We don't share it. He says, "For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Well, Paul was a preacher. No, we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to witness. We're all supposed to give the witness of the hope that's in us.
Amen.
We're supposed to answer every man.
Right.
Not just the ones we think about. Oh, this is what made him a successful missionary. You want to be a success? Sell out to God. Live His word. Do His will. Put Him first. Seek the kingdom. And then all these things be added unto you. This is why he founded so many churches. Everywhere Paul went. Everywhere Paul went. Started a church. And the issue is, it's not what someone calls themselves as a missionary. It's what God does in their life. And we're all called to be missionaries. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news. See, let us build through evangelism. See, evangelism is absolutely vital to the existence of our church. You know, you want your family name to die out. Don't have kids. And we're concerned about our descendants and leaving a legacy, folks. If we don't do the same thing spiritually, this church will die. We need to do that. Let's bring people in to hear the gospel. Make it a point to invite someone to church. We got room. And if we need more room, we'll make it. We'll make it. Let's be living messengers of the gospel. It's not about that we carry the gospel around in a box and say, here, open this up and here's this. We should be a living gospel in front of people. And let us always preach the gospel. As it was said Thursday night, and as I said basically all this last year, this is a tremendous time. People are looking for answers. People are looking for hope. People are trying to find peace. And we serve the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
We ought to share the gospel one with others. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So I don't know how to witness. They go, witness to your dog or your cat. Get some practice. And then just tell somebody. Invite them to church. That's not too hard. So we need to build through evangelism. Because if we don't add, we're just going to attrit out. So let us build through evangelism. Secondly, let us build through exhortation. To exhort, the word for exhorting to means to encourage. Paul taught those who received the gospel. And he keeps on writing these letters. All the Pauline epistles are about, hey, this is how you need to grow in the faith. And see, Christ said that we need to make disciples. We need to make followers so they can reproduce. Because it's just not one thing to have children. We need spiritual grandchildren and spiritual great-great-grandchildren. Oh, I would love if we would just start talking to one another and mentoring one another and helping one another. And help us to encourage one another to follow God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul writes, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Part of this issue about exhorting is to admonish. That's another translation of this word. It says, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you can't do that. If you don't have the mind of Christ, you can't do that. All your efforts will fall short. And we're supposed to build through exhortation. See, Paul encouraged all believers. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, if you go and you read any of Paul's letters, he always starts out in the first chapter with encouragement. He says, this is what I'm praying for you all. And look at what he's asking for, he says. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of His will in what? Oh, there's that word. All wisdom and spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. Being fruitful in what? Every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. See, if you're not doing this, you're dead. This is what dead people do nothing. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. See, He encouraged all believers. Let's encourage those that are discouraged. You say, well, who do I encourage? Well, ones that are hurting, for one. Let's encourage those who feel like giving up. There's a whole bunch of people out there like that right now. Let's encourage our own families. Let's encourage those in leadership. And I appreciate the prayers for me and my family. I appreciate the prayers for our church. I appreciate the prayers for our government too. Let's encourage all in the family of faith. See, Galatians chapter 6 says this. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so what? Fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, we know what the word says. Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? See, James says, if all you are just hearers of the word and not doers, you're like a man that holds himself in the glass and then turns around and forgets what, how they looked. We need to look in the spiritual mirror every morning and say, God, show me how I can be more like you. See, when we look in the mirror, we should see a Christ-likeness. When God looks down on us and he looks in our heart, what does he see? Does he see someone that wants to spread the gospel? Does he see someone who wants to encourage? See, what we need to do is we need to be encouraged and be an encourager also. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to evangelize. That's how we can build in 2021. That's to add to the church. We pray for these names all the time. We need to pray for an opportunity to witness to them. And then we need to pray to be able to encourage one another. It says in 2 Corinthians, it says that when God gives us comfort, we're supposed to be able to go and comfort them with the same comfort that we're comforted with. Mm-hmm. See, that's a spiritual principle there. Let us build through edification. See, to edify is to build up. In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. See, some people just like to tear down other people. And here's a physical fact. It takes months to build a house, but it takes moments with a wrecking ball to tear it down. It takes months to build a testimony and to get respect and get trust and all those things. And then one bad word, one bad action. And I don't want us to sit here and have to walk around on eggshells. We should walk in confidence. And if we're doing what God wants us to do, we should have no fear of that. But folks, we need to understand our real reason for edifying. If it's to lift you up, it's wrong. It's to encourage and to build up other people. See, Paul was building up people. In verse 23, it says he did this. He said, he ordained elders, prayed with fasting, commended them to the Lord. Okay? He organized the churches. And folks, we need to get involved in ministry. We've been praying for laborers. And God will bring laborers. God will bring laborers. And he's bringing them. And he's bringing them. But folks, God shouldn't have to bring outside help when we have all the spiritual gifts inside in order to do the job too. So let's build through building one another up. Some specialize in tearing down, but Paul was specializing in building up believers. It's amazing that the jailer in Philippi, he led to the Lord. It didn't matter where he was singing, and it was being an encouragement to them. A couple years ago, we went through the books of Haggai and Zechariah. And the problem why Haggai and Zechariah came on the scene was that God's people weren't doing what God's people were supposed to do. They were supposed to build the temple of God. And they went, they built the foundation, they got a little bit of tribulation, a little bit of pushback, a little bit of persecution, a little bit, you can't do that, and then they stopped. And what they did is they took all their effort and they built them great houses. And they were all nice and comfortable and secure. And then Haggai comes and he says this. He says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways."
Yeah.
We started off this say, today if you hear his voice. Do you hear his voice today? He says, go up the mountain, bring wood, build the house. See, that's what we need to do. We need to go to the mountain of God. I look to the Lord of hills from which cometh my... I look unto the hills which cometh my help. We need to go to the mountain. We need to go to Mount Zion and get God's help. We can't do this on our own. And bring wood. Bring materials fit for building the house of God. Evangelism. Encouragement or exhortation. And edification. Bring those things into God's house. Bring them as an offering of service to Him. And build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith
Amen.
The Lord. See, what we need to do is we need to get busy. Because I guarantee you, nothing will happen if nothing is done. No work will accomplish if no one will step up. Oh, folks, if the world was turned upside down by just a handful, we have more than that here in our church.
Amen.
You know, if we just won one to Christ and trained them and they won one to Christ, by the end of the month we would have the biggest church in the U.S. if we just started from here and just doubled every day. Is that impossible? With God, nothing is impossible. Let's build the house. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask that you just be with this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. And Father, help us, Lord, to be committed to evangelize. Help us, Lord, to be committed to share the gospel. Father, help us, Lord, to be committed to be an encouragement, Lord. And not to think, well, I could do it better this way, or I could do it better another way, Lord, but that we would just do it your way. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be able to build one another up through edification. Father, these are commandments that you give us. And Father, I just ask that you just help us to commit to that tonight. Father, help us, Lord, to not have fear. You say that we're supposed to take your yoke upon us, and your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Father, help us to experience your power. Help us to experience your love. Help us to experience your peace. Help us to experience your grace. And let it start tonight. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.